welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. A good Friday night to you. We got Joe Dickhead and the Professor coming on tonight, and we're also going to bring on a couple of guests to discuss some of the issues of the day. You know, this Toronto mayor, I'm getting so sick and tired of that story, I could throw up. I mean, the guy's a bad mayor. He smoked crack. Get rid of him. Goodbye. I'm sure it's a major concern to the people of Toronto, but we got other fish to fry, so that's the end of that romance. He's a crack-smoking fat man.
Yeah, and a lot of people give him credit on that.
Give him credit?
What does that mean?
Well,
you're talking about the fact that he's overweight.
Yeah.
So you're now, Bud, you are...
Let me ask you something, Dickman.
Yes, General.
Are you saying that crack cocaine is a diet treatment that a fat man, even the fat man there in Toronto? Boy, you really, someone ought to write you a letter, and it should be addressed from some federal facility. That is unbelievable.
Well, all right, look, you're thinking of crack cocaine, Bud, strictly from the standpoint that it's some kind of an upper or speed or, you know, what have you, and so therefore you're not going to eat and you're going to lose weight.
Yeah, but don't you think, you know, with all due respect, General, don't you think that a fat guy is going to look at that?
I don't care if a fat man... If Rob Ford weighs so much that he needs some kind of a dietary supplement, well, that's all right. But you don't look for it in the alleys and in the streets and in the slums of Toronto, Canada, where you have not only the obvious criminal element, you have a disaffected Native Canadian population, and these are people who are of Native blood, Margaret.
Yes.
And there is a very good chance that that fat man's body, if he turns up scalped, you...
Okay, come on, Jen, are you joking around?
No, sir, I am not. You've got a man up there who's playing with fire.
Well, is this your big claim on Rob Ford shouldn't be smoking crack cocaine because he may score it in areas of the city where there are Native people and his fat body turns up scalped? Is that what I just heard you say?
Well, you know something, Phil? You've got a very...
Is that what I just heard you say?
You've got a very domineering personality, young man.
Yes, he does, General. You know, Phil, just let the General have his opinion.
Well, I'm trying to tone down, at least in the rancor and rhetoric of this show, some of the more obvious racial comments.
Oh, so it's racism. That's what you're telling me, huh? I've worked my entire life against that. All I'm saying is, look, I could care less what happens to Rob Ford. If they take that fat man and they turn him into a squaw, I don't care. I'm just looking out for the people...
Come on, General, let's go get a vanilla wafer.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to get vanilla, and when I come back with a box of vanilla wafers, I hope things have calmed down in here.
Yeah,
you go get the vanilla wafers, sir, General.
What are you making fun of the old man for?
Hey, wait a second. What is it with everybody ganging up on me?
Well, you know, he comes from a different generation.
Well, you know, he's sitting there saying that Rob Ford is scoring crack cocaine from... First of all, that's a slander. He's scoring his crack from Indians. And secondly, I don't know.
Turning up... Would it be the worst thing in the world if they found a big fat man scalped? Never mind.
Yeah, it would be really freaky and weird and scary. Yes, all of that stuff, yes.
All right. Let me apologize on behalf of the General. He's sorry about it.
Well, all you guys are taking his side.
We're just taking the side of a man who's done an awful lot for this country, Phil. Why don't you lighten the hell up?
Well, I mean...
Yes, he's right, Mr. Henry. You got to lighten up. The General just made a comment. Let the old man have his way.
Yes, you let me have my... Thank you very much, Robbie. Let me have my way. I need a napkin because these get crumbs all over me.
Yeah, go get a napkin for you, General.
Thank you very much, Dickman.
Sorry, General.
That's all right. Just you remember something, Phil. That there was a broadcaster that was found dead with General Custer. Did you know that?
A broadcaster?
A member of the press. A member of the press, a man by the name of Mark Kellogg, died with Custer. And they found him with his pants pulled down.
Oh, they did. Now I know the story. Mark Kellogg was an Associated Press reporter. Okay, what are you looking shocked for, Margaret?
I didn't know this story.
Yeah, Mark Kellogg traveled with Custer to a great many of his campaigns. Custer, being Custer, wanted to have the press along. He wanted to have, you might say that Mark Kellogg was one of the very first embedded reporters. He was with the 7th Cavalry, and he was with them on that fateful day that they took on the Lakota, the Sioux Nation.
What do you mean, Lakota?
Well, I'm assuming that Sioux is considered a bit of a pejorative, and many Sioux refer to themselves as Lakota. But nonetheless...
That, like, North Lakota?
No, not North Lakota. North Dakota.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm going along with you. Only he wasn't a broadcaster. He was a writer.
Well, my understanding was he was a big-mouth talk show host, and Sitting Bull finally had had enough, and he put a tomahawk right in his kisser.
No, General, this is in the 1870s or something.
All right, well, my understanding was that Sitting Bull listened to this motor mouth and finally had it and said, if we ever meet up with Custer, what are you looking at, Phil?
Okay, 1870, no talk show host.
I understand that. All right, Sitting Bull read the guy's column then. But Sitting Bull apparently had it in for this guy Kellogg. He didn't like his opinions. He thought he had a big mouth and someone ought to stick a tomahawk in it. Or somewhere.
Well, that is... You've got some very bizarre...
Oh, well, thank you very much. You're not anti-Indian, are you?
I most certainly am not. I will tell you, I'm an honorary member of the Monondo tribe. And I take great offense at that.
At what is the tribe? I'm sorry?
The Monondo Manahul. It's a tribe. It was a gentleman that I met out here at Morongo Casino. Okay, so you...
Yeah, well, that was probably a scam.
No, it wasn't a scam.
All right, General, I apologize for questioning your credentials, your credibility, but I'm sure you agree with me that there was no talk show host in the 1870s.
Well, what did you say this guy Kellogg did?
He was a writer. He was a newspaper writer.
Okay, well, same difference.
Well, all right.
But you're claiming that this guy Mark Kellogg pissed off Sitting Bull because he read his column.
Well, I think it's very likely that a leader of a large contingent such as Sitting Bull is going to be up on the day's news. And he's reading the newspaper, and he reads how you can well imagine he probably said, here's this Kellogg son of a bitch again, and he's got his wife scurrying out to get food and whatever, and they don't go in the tent because don't go in the teepee because Sitting Bull, he's on the ragging or whatever they say, and he says, you know, let's get the warriors together and shut this guy up. Now, I don't think that's too far out.
All right, well, the point is that Sitting Bull encountered Custer, and that was the end of that. And one of the guys that was found, as the general just indicated, Margaret, was the body of this man, Kellogg. And, yes, they were scalped, and they were, you know, the bodies. And this was something that the Native warriors did in those days when they were battling the U.S. Army. They left their calling card, probably long before we'd ever heard of such a thing. On the field of battle, there would be the Native people would leave, the Native warriors would leave their calling card, whether it was a some kind of a mark or a sign.
What about like in Apocalypse Now with a playing cards?
Yeah, like Ace of Spades?
No, I don't think they had playing cards.
They didn't have playing cards. They scalped them, they pulled their pants down. What they did was they just humiliated them, right?
I don't know. I don't think they pulled... In any event, that's what happened. That was Mark Kellogg. That's his story. He wasn't a talk show host, though, although I'm sure that Sitting Bull, you know, read his column and got pissed off. Anyway, welcome to the program. Joe Dickhead and the Professor are next, and they're going to have their NFL picks. And stick around for this, because they pick football teams and football games based upon some pretty bizarre criteria. So check it out. It's next. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show, and it's time for the guys, Joe Dickhead and the Professor. Joe?
The Vegas Strip, not the Sunset Strip, from high on the Vegas Strip. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor.
We do know where we are, don't we, Professor?
I should say we do know where we are. We're high atop the Las Vegas Strip with Joe Dickhead and the Professor's picks here for this week 11 in the National Football League. This week we picked the winning team by virtue of the number of vowels in the head coach's last name. Whichever head coach has more vowels in his last name, his team will win. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor and our lock-solid, rock-solid, throbbing technique to pick winners for you. Call our special hotline and get our upset special. This week, we pick the Ravens to lose to the... No, we don't.
No, we're good. No, our upset special. See, we got to don't make the mistake of telling them what it is.
Oh, that's right. Our upset special is, I believe, New Orleans will beat New England, right? Is that who they're playing? I forget.
No, it's not New England. It's New Orleans is playing Carolina.
That's right. We think Carolina is going to beat... No, it's New England.
You guys need some more time?
What's that?
Do you need more time?
No, it's just that this jackass wrote it down wrong.
No, I did not write it down wrong. New England is going to lose to Carolina.
That's right. That's our upset special, so call it... Oh, you and...
Oh, I did it again, huh?
Yes, you did it again. Yes!
Yeah, your upset special.
I got it, Henry. Don't worry about it. Here are our picks this week of the National Football League. Atlanta versus Tampa Bay. The head coach of Atlanta is Smith. Tampa Bay is Schiano. Tampa Bay's head coach has three vowels in his last name. We pick Tampa Bay to beat Atlanta. Detroit and Pittsburgh. Schwartz with one in his last name. Tomlin has one. Tomlin has two, excuse me. And so Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers will beat the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit Red Wings. Is that it?
No, it's the Detroit Tigers.
Detroit Lions.
Oh, baby. Baby.
It's our first week back, and we're butchering it alive.
No, last week was our... And by the way, last week, folks, we went 9-4. That's right, 9-4. Count them. 9 wins, 4 losses. Count it. Go ahead. See if it don't come out the same on your little calculator. So we are picking, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers to defeat the Detroit Lions in that ball game in Pittsburgh. Coming up next, it's the Washington Redskins against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan has three vowels in his last name, and Kelly only has one, so guess what?
That's right. We picked the Redskins to beat Philadelphia in that ballgame. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is that right? Yes. Excuse me. The Arizona Cardinals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is Arians. He has two vowels in his last name. Bradley, he has two vowels in his last name. So the tiebreaker, which coach has more hair? Well, they're both bald. So we go to our third tiebreaker. Who has the thicker neck? And it's Arians. Arizona to defeat Jacksonville this weekend in NFL action.
The next game is the Oakland Raiders against the Dallas
The Houston Texans. You are, boy, you're dumb. You're just beautifully dumb.
That's right. It's the Raiders against the Texans. Allen with two vowels in his last name, but guess what? Kubiak has three. Oh.
That's right. It's the Houston Texans to defeat the Oakland Raiders. Another upset special. Call our hotline for the result.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I keep telling you.
You keep telling me. Next game, it's the Baltimore Ravens against the Chicago Bears. The Baltimore Ravens head coach, Jim Harbaugh, with three vowels. Trestman has two, and it's going to be the Ravens beating the Bears. And by the way, Trestman used to coach in the Canadian Football League. They got to be kidding with that guy anyway. The Cleveland Browns, Chizinski, with three vowels. Lewis only has two. It is the Browns over the Bengals in that one. The Chargers, McCoy with one vowel. Philbin has two. It's going to be Miami defeating the San Diego Chargers in Miami. The Packers against the New York Giants. Guess what? The Giants in an upset at home. Coughlin has three vowels in his last name. McCarthy only had one. It's the Minnesota... Go ahead, take one, will you?
I'm sorry. The Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Sandabs.
It's the Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks. Frazier with three vowels. Carroll with two. We think the Vikings upset Seattle in Seattle. That's what we think. And the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints. Harbaugh with three. Peyton with two. It's going to be a win for the San Francisco 49ers in the Superdome in New Orleans.
And finally, Kansas City and Denver. Andy Reid with two vowels in his last name. Sorry, John Fox. Fox, you only have one. But guess what? Going to be the Kansas City Chiefs to continue that amazing run.
And as we said, the New England Patriots against the Carolina Panthers. Belichick with three vowels, Rivera with three. The tiebreaker, Rivera has more hair.
And so it's Carolina beating New England. Those are our picks, and we stand by them. We are 9-4 so far on the season. This is Joe Dickhead.
I'm the professor.
With our NFL picks. You really caught that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Who's that?
It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Jesus. So there is Joe Dickhead and the professor with their NFL picks from for this weekend, week 11 in the National Football League. And I heard some that made a little bit of sense. I heard...
Well, what is this, the most vowels?
It's just a fun way of doing it. You know, everybody else doesn't try to do it all with statistics and everything.
Yeah, they're just messing around.
No, they're dead serious. See, you got to understand, Joe Dickhead and the professor, they got their asses handed to them. They're in Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is... It's like being a politician in Washington. You know, you're with the creme de la creme. You're with the hardballers, man, the heavy hitters. So you're in Vegas with all of these handicappers, all these sports specialists, all these guys that make their living doing this. And Joe Dickhead and the professor blew into that town and immediately got their ass kicked trying to pick these games.
So what did they do last week?
Last week they picked the games based upon whichever team was the most popular traditionally among Americans. They picked the opposite team, and they wound up going 9-4. So this week...
Well, this week was an asinine. I couldn't understand what they were saying.
They were the head coach with the most vowels in his last name.
Hold on for a minute, because now you've piqued my interest.
Go ahead, General.
Now, I've gone to football games my whole life. I don't think anyone in this room has been to more football games, and I've met a few of them, and I've never met a man. I've never met a man outside of a lunatic asylum that would ever pick a football game based upon the number of vowels in a man's last name. When I was in a lunatic asylum, I met three. But outside of a lunatic asylum...
You're in a lunatic asylum?
No, but I was visiting my wife's brother-in-law in there, and it was there that I did meet.
Is this...
If you ask me if I'm joking one more time, I'm going to put my fist right...
All right, I'm sorry, General. So in a lunatic asylum...
Yes, I met a few. I said, how do you pick the games? They said vowels, but I never met one. They said vowels, but I didn't know...
Well, what did they mean by vowels?
Well, I'm assuming that the most vowels, but they were dragged away.
They were dragged away?
Yes, I'm talking to them, and an attendant came over and dragged them off to the next, to the room where, I guess it's the one that Jack Nicholson went into. Is it electroshock?
Oh, good Lord.
Well, Phil, that's the way the game's played.
Yeah. Well, in any event, that's what these guys are doing.
Well, I'll tell you, say, if those two jackasses that I just heard on your radio show, the dickhead and the, what is the guy?
Joe Dickhead and the professor.
Right. If those two imbeciles pick games successfully based on the number of vowels in the last name of this of the poor slob that coaches these teams, then I'm nude, and I mean it. I'll walk into this studio, Margaret, forgive me, please, but I'll walk into this studio Monday stark naked.
You don't need to do that.
No, I believe in making a strong statement.
Well, Professor, you got a lady here.
You have a woman present. You can't do that.
All right. Well, then what do you suggest I do?
You can register your amazement on the air verbally. It's a radio show.
Well, that's not how we used to do it. When I was in the Army, we'd say, you know what, if you do this or that, my clothes come off come high noon.
Yeah, that's traditionally what they do, probably.
What do you mean, traditionally, that's how they do it?
I'm here to tell you. Would you quit contradicting me?
Well, if the general says, so when you were betting...
When we bet a guy and we said we don't think it's... And if you're right, my clothes come off high noon at the, say, the command post. Well, you laugh all you want, laughing boy.
Well, okay, whatever you say there, General. So we'll see on Monday. Although, if you want to take your clothes off, we'd like you to do it somewhere other than in the studio.
No, it's not that I want to take... What do you think I am? Some guy... So you think I want to strip and go, ooh? Is that what you think I am?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It sounds like... So you think I want to strip down just to feel the breeze between my legs. Is that it?
Well, you got to understand something, General.
You called me professor.
No, I made a mistake. You gotta understand, there's a lady here.
We got a lady present.
Well, that's fine, and I'll respect that. But if you think that I'm going to take my clothes off and go, woo, you...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Dan, a lot of times will say that to me, too.
Well, that gives me cold comfort, Dickman, knowing that I'm in the same general vicinity of appreciation and admiration as you. Never mind.
All right. I think your opinion has been duly registered, and I think it's a very, very, very well-registered opinion. I don't know whether or not I agree with it. However, we'll see. I agree that it's a weird way of picking games.
The number of vowels.
It's a weird way of picking games. All right, we have to update you on Obamacare. Coming up next with Dr. Jim Sadler and the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
When is he going to get his mouth fixed?
Oh, Sadler's the one with the lisp.
Welcome back here this Friday night on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A reminder, tomorrow night on Phil TV in HD, I'm going to be with our Phil TV audience, subscribers, backstage pass holders, as we have another bonus show. And on the show, we will, as I've said, you know, we've sort of taken our inspiration from Drunk History. What we do is I'll sit back with my Don Julio and talk about different historical events. It's not like Drunk History, because that is a great show with all kinds of produced stuff.
Well, what is Drunk History?
General, if you don't mind, let me just...
Well,
they get drunk and then they talk about history.
Well, no kidding, Sherlock. I've got that one figured out. You're saying, is this the show, Margaret, you showed me where the man is vomiting into a toilet and they have the actors...
Yeah, exactly. And they have the actors mouthing the words, although they don't do the vomit part.
Well, yes, I saw that. And that is supposed to get me interested in history, is that it?
Yes, it is. And it's fun, and it's funny, and you should watch it, General. Now, what I'm going to do tomorrow night, and what I have done with our bonus shows, is just we'll do a little audio-visual. We'll have on our green screen different pictures of the historic events that I'll be talking about. Now, it's no big thing, but I'll probably be getting into, because I'd read the book so many years ago, and I was so fascinated with Devil in the White City.
Oh, that's the serial murderer.
Yeah, that's bitching. He had a room where he carved the bodies up.
Oh, that's real bitching. You know something? I think all of you people, you really need... Somebody needs to get you people into counseling, medicated...
Hold on for a minute, General. This is a true story. The guy's name was H.H. Holmes. He lived in Chicago at the time of the 1893 World's Fair. He set up a hotel that he called the World's Fair Hotel.
Yes, and he lured young women in.
And you're saying he carved them a new one, what?
No, he didn't. He killed them. He had gas jets in the room, so he would kill these women with the gas, and then he'd incinerate them. He was like one of the most diabolical serial murderers in history. And this all happened in 1893 during the Chicago World's Fair. And the reason why they called the book, Eric Larson wrote his book called Devil in the White City, is the Chicago World's Fair was when it was constructed and it was open for the public to come in and enjoy. It was all in white. It was painted white. It was like this gorgeous white city right on the shores of Lake Michigan. It was one of the most successful World's Fairs ever, and it was essentially presented during a terrible recession. The panic of 1893, people were thrown out of jobs. It was a terrible... Not only was the economy bad, but it was one of the worst winters that Chicago had ever seen, and these guys are out there trying to build...
And they're trying to construct the World's Fair.
And was it snowing and everything?
Yes, it was snowing, it was sleeting, it was windy, they had a fire. Can you imagine if you're the guy, and the man who was the founding director of this was a guy named Dennis, I think his name is Dennis Burnham, and if it had been me, I would have...
Yeah, you already said if you were born black, you'd probably be in prison.
Yes, I did say that during the break. And if I was born in 1893 and they gave me the job of the World's Fair, I would have blown my brains out. Are you kidding? It would have been impossible. But they hung in, and then the crowning achievement, I'm not going to tell you about, because that I'll save for tomorrow night.
The Ferris wheel.
You must be some kind of an ass, born the spawn of hell. Phil said he was saving it for tomorrow night.
Are you an idiot or something, man?
Sorry.
If I said I'm saving it for tomorrow night...
Though it was the Ferris wheel, huh?
Well, I guess the cat's out of the bag, yeah.
Well, big deal. What's the big deal with the Ferris wheel?
The Ferris wheel, as I've said many times on this show...
Well, I didn't hear it... Sorry, Phil, I'm not married to your radio show, Boarding New Tonight.
Well, the Ferris wheel was introduced at the 1893 World's Fair because they needed something, and they really needed something bad, that was going to... What?
I'm sorry, but you went really...
Yeah, don't, almost like you had an impediment.
You guys done?
Sorry.
They needed something at the 1893 World's Fair that was going to top what Paris had unveiled just 4 years before, and that was the Eiffel Tower. So the Eiffel Tower, as you know, is iconic. The Eiffel Tower today is Paris. You can't think of Paris without the Eiffel Tower. And that's how groundbreaking, revolutionary, eye-catching, whatever you want to call it, that's how it captured the imagination of the world, the Eiffel Tower. And so the Chicago World's Fair comes along 4 years later, and they say, well, we're going to have to do something, anything, to grab people the same way. So, you know, what they were able to do at the Chicago World's Fair in the middle of a terrible recession, in the middle of one of the worst winters they'd ever seen, in the middle of a construction phase that had a fire that burned down one of the pavilions that they'd so painstakingly constructed, and on top of everything else, they had the vision and they had the chutzpah and they had the drive to say, and we want to make our mark the way the Paris exhibition did with the Eiffel Tower.
So what did they, how did they do this?
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell the story in the air tomorrow night, but...
Yeah, you should hold it off till tomorrow.
Oh, really, bud? Well...
You're the guy open your mouth, man. I can't do that.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. What happened was they sent out a letter to every engineering firm in America. And they said, we want something at our World's Fair that is going to be every bit the equal, if not that will exceed the genius and majesty of the Eiffel Tower. We are calling upon you, America's engineers, to come up with a design, to come up with this creation. And they sent this letter out to just every single solitary engineering firm in America, you know, coast to coast. And it was a young man in a Pittsburgh firm. His last name was Ferris, George Ferris, who saw this letter. And while guys were...
Yeah, what kind of design were people sending in?
Everybody was sending in variations on the Eiffel Tower. So that's what, you know, sort of monkey see, monkey do. That's what people were thinking. Oh, wow, they want to do better than the Eiffel Tower. How about three Eiffel Towers, you know...
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I mean, they had, some guys sent in designs. They had three Eiffel Towers with a cable car running between it. All kinds of crazy stuff. Ferris, being a wholly original thinker, thought about it and came up with this wheel that would spin around, and in the interior of it, obviously, are these little carts. Now, the original Ferris wheel was enormous. The one they had at the World's Fair in Chicago had carts that sat 20 people, you know.
20? It must have been the biggest thing that had ever been seen.
Huh?
Well, man, like King Kong's bigger.
Yeah, but King Kong doesn't exist, I don't think, did it?
No, King Kong didn't exist.
Oh. So, yeah, that would be bigger.
Yeah, but if King Kong existed, it probably would have still been bigger than King Kong. Wow.
Are you Jack Balls telling me you're arguing over the existence of some big ape? That monkey, even if the monkey existed, that monkey was so stupid, it decided to did a Peter Pan off the top of the Empire State Building. That's how dumb that ape was. But I have it on good authority that never happened, right?
No, it never happened. Are you guys crazy or something?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I knew a guy that had been an old-timer in the Air Corps, and he said that he'd flown one of those biplanes against what he said he went up against some ape that had taken up residence on the top floor of the Empire State Building. I come to find out he's talking about a guy that his ex-wife is seeing, and it was a penthouse apartment.
Okay, all right, fine, General.
You don't want to hear the story.
No, I really don't.
So it wasn't King Kong?
No. So, what, did he fly a biplane against this guy?
Well, he did. He flew his plane. He took off from Schwartz Field in New Jersey, and he machine-gunned his wife's penthouse. I don't know.
Wow. I mean,
Man, I'd love to see that. Is there a newspaper store on that?
Oh, I'm sure you can find a contemporary report at any of the newspapers of the day, yes.
Wild. All right, so in any event, so George Ferris sent in his design, and it immediately captured the imagination of the planners and founders of the Chicago World's Fair, and they said, this is brilliant. And George Ferris came to Chicago. He oversaw the construction of this, and it was an immediate hit.
Well, I would think so. 20 people to a car, huh?
20 people to a car. The lines were around the buildings, you know, twice throughout the entire World's Fair, event. There was never a day that they didn't have overflowing crowds for the Ferris wheel. And today, the Ferris wheel, you talk about iconic. I mean, you can't think of a fair, you can't think of a carnival without a Ferris wheel.
But you can't think of Paris without the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, okay, the Eiffel Tower, that's great. How many places do they have Paris?
One.
One place. How many places do they have fairs and carnivals?
One.
What do you mean one?
You talk about fair and carnival, just the one place.
Yeah, don't travel.
I'm not talking about the fair. Yeah, the fair stays put. I'm saying how many in any given day, how many fairs and carnivals are there in America?
Maybe a couple.
There's more than a couple, jackass. And I'll tell you this much, they all have Ferris wheels.
Don't get so upset, Phil. They're just, these guys, they're mentally challenged.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, you should have more patience with these two because they're real. These two guys are real abstract, let me tell you.
All right. I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, Robert.
It's all right.
All right. We'll be right back. We have Dr. Jim Sadler. He's going to be talking with us about the latest snafus, or whatever you want to call it, in Obamacare. Now they want to give you your, you can hold on to your insurance for the next year. I don't know, man. It's wild, baby. It's real wild. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back.
The one thing you can.
It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. You can go and get a backstage pass and watch us online as we do the show on our video cast. You can listen to thousands, tens of thousands. I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
Well, what happened to the 5,000 hour? You're suddenly inflating this.
The other day, Phil, you said it was 5,000 hours.
Yeah, I know, but we looked at the spreadsheet. There's got to be a lot more.
What do you call that?
A spreadsheet. Every time I say the word...
Yeah, every time he says the word spread, you giggle.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, you got to admit it's funny.
What's funny about it?
You know, Phil, I've got a grandson who thinks everything's a double entendre. And when I said to him that his grandmother and I... I asked his grandmother if she'd packed the plums for our hike because we love to go hiking, and she said if you reach down into your bag, you'll feel them, and he laughed for a half an hour until I finally figured it out, and I didn't figure it out.
Okay, all right, General.
No, hold on for a minute, because if you have grandchildren, you need to understand that this is going on in your home. And we said, what are you going to do, Grandpa? I said, well, we'll go, and Grandma and I will hike that mountain. She'll climb up on top, and I'll climb up on top, too, and then I'll plant my pole in it, meaning the flag.
Yeah.
And he's going, ha, 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 ha. And I finally figured out what he was talking about, and I gave that young man what for, I'll tell you that.
Well, these kids are encouraged by, and I hate to say this, Phil, but the kids are encouraged by a lot of the radio that they listen to, and the dirty, filthy, crude comedians, not so much you, but the Dane Cooks, and this sort of thing.
Well, look, No. You're not going to hang that on comics and radio guys. So he laughed, I mean, it is kind of funny.
Oh, it's funny, is it? He's talking about his grandmother.
I understand that, General, and I don't mean any disrespect, but the kid is, how old is he?
He's 12 years old, going on 50, and I'll tell you, this is a 12-year-old boy, and I fear for this young man. I see him sitting in an office someplace over a railroad station of some kind with a dirty, filthy cigar butt in an ashtray, and women parading into the office as he's having them turn around, and then he tears off a slip and gives it to the, I don't know.
What?
What are you talking about, your grandson?
Yes, I see my grandson winding up like that.
Winding up like what?
Auditioning women for a God knows what, with a filthy cigar stogie, yellow teeth, and he's saying, "Go ahead, honey, turn around. Let me see what, let me see what it is, what you got. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, look, you know." And I can't. I don't want it. I won't have it.
General, I can only tell you that it sounds like some a young man is going to laugh. I said, Grandma and I are going to climb a mountain.
Yes, because his grandmother and I love hiking.
And good, I like hiking too. But when you say I'm going to plant my pole in it...
I meant we had a little flag and I was going to put the flag on top of her. Not on her, on her. You know, Dickman, you're very dear to me, but that doesn't mean that I won't put a spear through your head and stick it on my gate.
Sir...
No. Did you hear what I said?
There's no need to talk like that, General.
Yes, there is. I'll put a spear through your head and stick it on my gate. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, where was I?
Never mind. I got a guy that I got to interview. I understand what you're saying. Thank you, okay?
Well, just remember that.
Yeah, but you got to understand. If it's a young kid, and you say, Grandma and I are going to climb a mountain, and I'm going to plant my pole in it, and I'm going to climb up... Yeah, I'm telling you, he's going to laugh.
Well, you know something... Then maybe I should talk to my son, who I know I raised better, and he's got a young man there, my grandson, who has the mind of a... that. Who is the guy that had that filthy magazine, Goldstein? I had a subscription for a while.
Goldstein?
The guy that had that filthy... I forget.
Oh, yeah, I know who he's talking about. He was the man was a publisher.
Goldstein was 1984.
Oh, why don't you take... Why don't you pack it up and take it downstairs, please?
All right, I don't know. I can't answer these questions. We have to get back to our radio show. And with us here from San Diego, California, is our good friend, Dr. Jim Sadler. And I got to tell you, Dr. Sadler, what a rollout Obamacare has had, which has been like no rollout at all. He's got defecting Democrats now. I mean, he has people in the House of Representatives, Democrats, who are saying... Enough is enough. How do you feel about it?
Well, Phil, it's very hard for me as I sit here behind my home and I'm watching the San Diego fire deal with a brush fire that we have here behind our home right now. Understand, I worked very hard to have not only the home that we have, but we've got 4 acres. We have a riding ring.
What is that again?
A riding ring.
You mean for horses?
Yes, for my wife loves to ride. She rides side saddle as well as English. Here comes another one of the planes. This is a...
We've had this on our show before.
What's that?
We've had Steve Bozell.
Yes, that's... Well, the fire season should be over.
Well, not here in San Diego County. We've still got a great many dried out areas, and these areas need to be watered down. They need to be be flushed out and wet. And I have to tell you, Phil, it's going to make you laugh, but the other night we had a poker game over here, and a lot of my friends, I said, you know, I was talking, and I said that the brush back here really needs to be wetted down because we've got a very dry area and we've had these brush fires, and the guys went out there and urinated. And I said, what's that about? And they said, didn't you just say to do that? I said, of course I didn't. But I went ahead and joined them because that's how concerned we were. And there goes another one there.
All right, so you're dealing with a fire, and what we want to ask you about is Obamacare.
No, that's all right.
Okay, and I hope that the fire is under control?
Oh, it's under control, but the point I'm trying to make is Obamacare has put such a fear into my wife. You know, I've got a thriving medical practice. We have a beautiful home with a riding ring. We have a circular driveway, and we have those things which one would think of when one thinks of a circular driveway and the riding ring, you know.
Well, all right, you have a circular driveway and a riding... Does that mean... What does that mean?
It means that I've worked very hard to get what I've got.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to lose it, and I certainly don't want to lose it to a fire, and that's why I'm monitoring the fire, and you'll forgive me if I'm not all that concerned with whether or not someone's got health insurance, because I'm going to need health insurance. I'm going to need a lot of health insurance if this thing burns my home to the ground. There goes another one. And I've got friends of mine who are pulling up at all hours of the day, going out behind my home, and urinating because they're drunk or what have you. And
wait, how did this start?
His friends, he's playing poker.
Yeah.
And
his friends, he said, Dr. Sal, you said you need to wet down the back?
I said I got to wet down the back. These guys went out and urinated. But now, of course, the fire department's here, and they're wetting it down, too. But we have a fire.
So tell me about Obamacare and what is the major malfunction there. How can it get corrected? How is it affecting you?
Well, the way to correct it, I think, is the way to correct it that they've decided to let people hold on to their insurance for the next year. It's a major retreat for Obama, and he's going to have to retreat because he has the Democrats that are fleeing. But I personally am upset because I don't know how this is going to affect me.
All right, hold on. We're with...
Right there. There goes another plane, and they're dropping water.
All right, we're going to be back here with Dr. Jim Sadler as we talk about the rollout of Obamacare that has been anything but, you know, it's been anything but easy, and it's been anything but simple, it's been anything but user-friendly, and now the president finds that even his comrades in the Congress may be fleeing. So we'll be back with more on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I can't keep it in. I can't keep it in.